Text number 44. Tatra kirtayato vipra viprarshe bhuri tejasah aham chadyagamam tatra nivishtas tadanugrahat soham va savayasyami yataditam yatamati tatra kirtatayo vipra viparashir bhuri tejasah aham chadyagamam tatra nivishtastadanugrahat soham vasravayasyami yataditam yatamati tatra kirtatayo vipra prashir bhuri tejasah aham chadyagamam tatra nivishtastadanugrahat soham vasravayasyami yataditam yatamati. Someone else? Tatra kirtayato vipra. Vishtastar anugrahat soham vasvadayishyami yatahitam yatamati. It's wrong on the board, isn't it? It's, yeah, yatahitam. I can't quite see it from here. Tatra kirtayato vipra. Ancha jagamam tatra. Vishtasta radugraha. Yishyami. Kayatu vipra vite chataha aham chad hyagamam tatra nivishtasta radugrahat yataditam yatamati. Some ladies? Tatra kirtayato vipra mam tatra istatara nugrahat soham vasavayishyami yataditam yatamati. Kayato vipra vipasya uriketa saha amcha jagamam chatra Tatra.
There.
Kirtayataha.
While reciting.
Vipraha.
O
Brahmanas.
Vipra
Rishe.
From the great Brahmana Rishi.
Bhuri.
Greatly.
Tejasaha.
Powerful.
Aham.
I.
Cha.
Also.
Adyagamam.
Could understand.
Tatra.
In that meeting.
Nivishtaha.
Being perfectly attentive.
Tat anugrahat.
By his mercy.
Saha.
That very thing.
Aham.
I.
Vaha.
Unto you.
Shravayashyami.
Shall let you hear.
Yataditam.
Yatamati.
As far as my realization.
This is Suta Goswami speaking to the sages at Naimisharanya Forest, talking about his previous hearing of Bhagavatam. O learned Brahmanas, when Shukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam there in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention. And thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. Srila Prabhupada's purport. One can certainly see directly the presence of Lord Sri Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam if one has heard it from a self-realized great soul like Shukadeva Goswami. One cannot, however, learn Bhagavatam from a bogus, hired reciter whose aim of life is to earn some money out of such recitation and employ the earning in sex indulgence. No one can learn Srimad Bhagavatam who is associated with people, with persons engaged in sex life. That is the secret of learning Bhagavatam. Nor can one learn Bhagavatam from one who interprets the text by his mundane scholarship. One has to learn Bhagavatam from the representative of Shukadeva Goswami and no one else, if one at all wants to see Lord Krishna directly in the pages. I lost my place. That is the process, and there is no alternative. Suta Goswami is a bona fide representative of Shukadeva Goswami because he wants to present the message which he received from the great learned Brahmana. Shukadeva Goswami presented Bhagavatam as he heard it from his great father, and so also Suta Goswami is presenting Bhagavatam as he had heard it from Shukadeva Goswami. Simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word Navishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through the ears. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning one can assuredly see Lord Sri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satarine Oma Gyanam Timurandasya Garanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. O learned Brahmanas, when Shukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam there in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention, and thus, by his mercy, I learned the Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall try to make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. So in this purport, Prabhupada is giving us very, very valuable instructions about Srimad Bhagavatam. I first read this when I... Let me get this computer open. When I moved into the temple. In those days, the Bhagavatams were only available. The first canto was only available in the temple, the books that Prabhupada had himself brought of Bhagavatam, so I read it in those original ones. And at that time I was taking some university courses. I was still in graduate school in religious studies. And I actually wrote a paper basically on this purport, because it's very, very interesting. Here is Bhagavatam, a speaker and a hearer. Although one thing you should notice here, that his Prabhupada is talking about an oral recitation. Sutta is talking to the sages at Naimisharanya Forest. Shukadeva Goswami was talking to Maharaj Parikshit, and the sages gathered there. Presumably nobody had any books. No one was taking any notes or had their iPhones recording. You know, they were all listening. It was all talking and listening. But you notice how Prabhupada talks about one can certainly see directly the presence of Lord Sri Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam. Now suddenly there's a book. The pages of Bhagavatam. It's kind of interesting how Prabhupada suddenly makes the switch, and you realize he's talking about this book that we're holding in our hands. Prabhupada is the speaker, and we are the hearers. And now, what this purport gives is the conditions under which Bhagavatam can actually take place. It has to be enacted. And when I read this, I reminded something that I had cell phones off. I was reminded of something that I had just learned in a course, which is analogous to this. There was an Oxford professor of linguistics named J.L. Austin, who was famous for some linguistic analysis. And he was talking about the function of language does all kinds of things. And he talked about something what he called performative utterances. Awkward and stupid name, he said so himself. And this is analogous to the Bhagavatam. Because a performative utterance is something like this: I now pronounce you man and wife. Or I sentence you to 10 years in jail. Or I bid $10,000. See, it's not just making a statement. It does something. So Like, for example, let's take I sentence you to 10 years in jail. Now, there's a sentence, and you could say it, and if I walk up to somebody in the street and say, I sentence you to 10 years in jail, what happens? Nothing. What's going on? It's just words. But if the speaker is authorized, that is to say, a judge in the court of the state, who's duly appointed, and the hearer is authorized, someone who's been convicted of a crime by due process of law, and the judge says it, then he goes to jail for 10 years. He's sentenced. There's potency. You see, so reminder, the speaker is authorized, the hearer is authorized, then something happens. So this is similar to Bhagavatam. It's not just mundane literature. This text is read in universities. It's read by scholars. It's read by students. They study it very carefully. They know Sanskrit better than most of us. But Bhagavatam does not happen. It does not take place. So we've also been meeting here with ILS, the ISKCON Leadership Sangha, and our interest is what is ISKCON and what is it for? So here's one take. ISKCON is what Prabhupada had to do to make Bhagavatam happen. It wasn't enough that he brought the books. He also had to create the authorized hearers. Then, with Prabhupada as the authorized speaker, and people in ISKCON as the authorized hearers, then Bhagavatam can happen. It can take place. So I want you to notice in this purport, what does it mean for Bhagavatam to happen? He says it several times. One can certainly see directly the presence of Lord Sri Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam. And again, a little later on, if one at all wants to see Lord Sri Krishna in the pages, and again, he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page, and again, see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 repetitions in a very short paragraph. Seeing the pages of Krishna, seeing Krishna in the pages. Now, why does that happen? Well, it's as simple. Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. Abhinatva, nama namanaha. That applies to the Hare Krishna mantra, where Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. And the same principle applies to Bhagavatam. Krishna and Krishna's narration are the same. You can take a name of Krishna, it's very short, but you can make the names longer and longer. And sometimes Yamuna Tira Vanachara, right? That's a name of Krishna. It's a description of Krishna, but it's a name. He who wanders in the bushes or the groves on the bank of the Yamuna. Somebody could be named Yamuna Tira Vanachari Das. You could do that. And you can make even longer names in Sanskrit. And in a sense, the Bhagavatam is one big name. It's a big name of Krishna. Krishna and Krishna's name are the same because it's spiritual literature. And so if we actually understand the meaning, then we'll see Krishna directly. One time in the Philadelphia temple, I was giving the Sunday feast lecture. And some graduate students from the university had come with a professor. They knew I was also, had been an academic student of religion. And they heard me narrating some of the stories from our literature. And then some of them met with me up in the office. And they said to me, "You don't take this literally, do you?" "Of course you don't take this literally. Here, because look what we say about God. He's two hands. He plays a flute. He wears a peacock feather. Very concrete, specific." Thomas Aquinas said the more abstract words are, the more properly they refer to God. Can you imagine? That's how you get close to being a Mayavadi. We don't have abstract. Well, we have a flute, not a trombone. Not a flute. It's a peacock feather, not a pheasant feather. We were very, very concrete description. So of course we don't mean it literally. It must be symbolic or something like that. So I had to explain to him. Well, I said like this. Yes, I take it literally, but we may not know what the literal meaning is, because the real meaning of, where does language come from? Language comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. So language comes from Krishna. So the real meaning of the language is what they mean in relationship to Krishna. That's the literal. If Krishna is blue, right, is dark blue. If Krishna is dark blue. And so, yeah, okay, that I see dark blue, so I can use the word. But his dark blue is a transcendental dark blue. What is that? I only, see the blue around here. But that's the original blue, and what you have down here is some kind of cheap schlock copy. Pirated. Sort of like blue. So that's the literal meaning of words when they apply to Krishna. And we cannot perceive this, the literal meaning right now, because Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabade Grayam Indriya. Our senses, which are now materially contaminated, cannot perceive Krishna's name. Nam Adi. Name, form, qualities, past. We cannot. And so far, the Mayavadi philosophers, everybody would agree. Yeah, you can't see. You go with your material senses into transcendence, and you can't see. You draw a blank. And then you think that your ignorance is reality, that, yeah, there's nothing there. I can see nothing, so then I think, yeah, there's nothing there. But there's another verse. When those senses, Sevan Mukhe, when we, with those senses dedicated to service of Krishna, engage them, then they become enabled. We are spiritually disabled. And now we become enabled. So in order for Bhagavatam to happen, we have to become enabled to be able to hear. And so here Prabhupada is giving how it is. Well, first of all, the speaker has to be proper. But Prabhupada is concerned, Jai Sri Sri Mahārāja. He's concerned with talking about the hearers, because the authorized speaker is one who has been a proper hearer before. So he's concerned like that. So first of all, one cease makes this, you can see directly Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam. From whom? A self-realized soul. You cannot learn Bhagavatam from the bogus hired reciters. These are the professional reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Professional means, and in the West, professional means, yeah, it's really well done. But for Prabhupada, it means they do it for the money. Only, and they are well done. I've seen them. I've sat around and listened to these people, and the audience is in tears because they're really good actors, the speakers. They know how to do it, and they tell a story. But they take the money, and, they use it for what he says here, sex indulgence, maybe just meaning they're mundane householders or something, but anyway. That's their idea. But they're talented. They are really talented. I remember one of our very first festivals here, they got a professional kirtan group to come because, man, they really know how to play the drums and they sing very well, and they put them on our stage, and Prabhupada was so upset. He would rather have our people with our clumsy thump, 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 drum playing and whatever else, and not being able to carry a tune and not knowing so many melodies. He'd rather have us than these experts, because they were professional. So that's one thing. And again, after saying no one can learn Bhagavatam Srimad Bhagavatam with a person engaged in sex life. Now, Prabhupada will explain this later on, how this has to happen. And then he says, Prabhupada uses another word that shows up several times in the purport, the secret. You see, there's a secret. It's confidential. Everybody will not be able to appreciate it. Now, this is important because we should understand what ISKCON is for is to make us able, to give us the keys to the secret, to empower us to be able to hear Bhagavatam properly. So this says here, one has to learn, first of all, Bhagavatam from the representative of Shukadev Goswami, that is someone who is a proper hearer. Shukadev, we're talking about Sutta, is the representative. He heard it properly, and now he tells how he heard it with this rapt attention. He was able to give it that focus. If one at all wants to see Lord Sri Krishna in the pages, that is the process. That is the process. And there is no alternative. So he says, then they heard it, they speak it as they had heard it, and then he says, simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. This is in the text here, this phrase, yatha aditam yatha mati. Prabhupada in the word for word, as I have realized, adita, as I have made it an object of my meditation, and yatha mati, as I have concentrated on it. Remember, Prabhupada uses the term realized knowledge to mean experienced. It also is the way he translates vijnana. Jnana means book knowledge, but vijnana knowledge, it's direct perception. The realized knowledge. One must realize the text with proper attention. And then he takes the word nivishta, meaning concentrated on, being really there. Present. Look, when we chant japa, you have to be present, to be fully there and not your mind going anywhere else and concentrating. So the same way with Bhagavatam, hearing in a class or taking the book up and reading it. The word nivishta, he said he drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears, like you're super thirsty and you're really eager to get some juice. And, like that, with that eagerness to taste. That is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. See how he emphasizes that the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. Now it's a gift. We have to take it, and we have to receive it the right way. One should hear with rapt attention from the real person, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. Then again, the secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. So now, how do we get that rapt attention? How are we able to get that degree of attention? This is the age of inattention. Attention deficit disorder, right? This is the age of distraction. The English poet T.S. Eliot, one of his famous poems, very religious poem when he got older. He described the modern world as, this is his line, distracted from distraction by distraction. So that's the motto. It should be on every building. Distracted from distraction by distraction. We are distracted. So it is hard for us. This is hard for us. It's the age of distraction. We've got so many devices to distract us. The big thing, the mortality rate, people driving their cars with their cell phones, their iPhones on, texting. So distraction from distraction. So this is hard for us. We are in the age of inattention. So how to give rapt attention? So he says, no one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. That's the first thing. Actually, if you really want to pay attention, the mind has to be in the mode of goodness. In the mode of ignorance, you don't know what's happening. Whatever you see it wrong. The mode of passion, you're narrowly focused on the objects of sense gratification, and you can go from here to here to here to here. But the mode of goodness, you're detached and alert. We don't see the mode of goodness anymore. People should be cultivating the mode of goodness. No one knows what it is. Prabhupada said, formerly, he said, the standard of advancement nowadays is the mode of passion. Narrowly fixed, narrow, excited consciousness fixed on the objects of desire. And that's the standard of advancement, is the mode of passion. Economic development. What do they get together and talk about? Economic development. He said, formerly the standard of advancement was the mode of goodness. Just that much. That's not even transcendental, but that's just getting to where you can begin to become transcendental. We are not sure. And of course, all the intoxicants, everything else, it's just the motive. The motive passion leads to misery, and then to take care of the misery, alcohol, drugs, whatever else, to deal with it. And it's going in that direction. So it makes it hard to do Bhagavatam. You have to get cured of so many things. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. That's just a fact of life. That purity of mind has to be there. How can we be in purity of mind? No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. So our behavior has to be pure. Our activities has to be pure. What is pure in action? He says pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. Or fearing is defending. In other words, even the basic animal, biological activities of life, we have to learn how to do in a pure way. We have to eat in a pure way. We have to sleep in a pure way. We have to mate in a pure way. We can mate, I mean, the species can go on, but Prabhupada has given instructions about how that is to be done. And defend in a pure way. In other words, so that's our Hare Krishna movement, really. The regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, the culture of Krishna consciousness, is to make us able to hear Bhagavatam. So when Prabhupada brought those books, he brought the method of training people. That's why he had this, to make this society so that Bhagavatam could actually take place. And then he assures us at the end, one can see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. Interesting, this is the last verse in the chapter, but in the next verse, chapter 4, text 1, Prabhupada somewhat continues the purport. He brings it again about this idea of realization. In the next verse, on hearing Suta Goswami speak thus, Shonaka Muni, who is the elderly learned leader of all the rishis engaged in that prolonged sacrificial ceremony, congratulated Suta Goswami by addressing him as follows. That's the next verse. And Prabhupada says in his purport, he stood up to congratulate Sri Suta Goswami when he expressed his desire to present Srimad Bhagavatam exactly as he has heard it from Shukadeva Goswami and also realized it personally. By the way, this idea that you can present that there's a parampara and the message is coming down through the generations exactly, not a single mundane scholar ever believes that is even possible. Everyone interprets everything. I really believe this. But here Prabhupada is saying, here's how it happens. If you become a proper hearer, you can actually hear it and you can present it as you have heard it exactly. I mean, so many times Prabhupada says about our parampara and it hasn't been changed. And you say that in an academic circle, oh, these people are so naive. But they're the ones that are idiots, actually. Not. Because here's a way. You know, look at this. Have you ever tried it? Huh? You know, it used to be in university. Universities were originally for clergymen, you know. Students used to be, at least, were supposed to be brahmacharis. This was the tradition even in Europe at one time. But what's happened to the student class? Huh? So they've also, actually, this kind of tradition was also there before at one time. But we've made advancement now. So, but this is how it happens. This hearing, exactly as he heard it from Shukadeva Goswami, but this is the interesting, and also realized it personally. Because you would say, well, you know, a tape recorder will do that job, just exactly as it. But there's something else, this idea of realized knowledge. So here, now, so Prabhupada gives this very interesting discussion of this. Personal realization does not mean that one should, out of vanity, attempt to show one's own learning by trying to surpass the previous acharya. So personal realization means there's something to it that's your own, that's actually related to you, that you could say originates from you. But it doesn't mean this business, I'm going to find something new that nobody, this is my original contribution. When again, in academics, you know, when you write a doctoral dissertation, you have to show how you're making an original contribution. I mean, in principle, there's just one truth, right? At least used to think like that, there's one truth. But then everybody has to say something new. I mean, if you just agree with somebody else completely, you don't have a career. You don't have to come up with some novel thing. That's the thing. So, but this is not the idea that I'm going to find something, I'm going to show one's own and demonstrate my cleverness and by coming up with something nobody, no previous acharya has ever seen before. This is my contribution. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya. And at the same time, he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in the suitable manner. In other words, you've got it, you've made it your own, you come back out with it again, it will be inflected with your own personal feelings or something like that? How to say it? It will be yours. Just look at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's way of speaking and look at Srila Prabhupada's way of speaking. Now, I got something, you know, a transcript of Bhaktisiddhanta or notes of his lectures, his writings. Really hard to read. You know, this incredible vocabulary. And I, you know, sat down and went through it again and again and again and finally understood what he was saying and realized I had already known it. Prabhupada had told us already. What a difference. What a difference in style. And I can see why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur talked that way, because you really had to pay attention in order to get what he was saying, you know. But Prabhupada has, so you can see the difference in manner and vocabulary and way of speaking, and yet the same thing is being transmitted. Exactly. Precisely. So that's an example of realized knowledge. He must have full confidence in the previous acharya, and at the same time, he must realize the subject matter so nicely that he can present the matter for the particular circumstances in a suitable manner. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. Again, a joke in academics, you know, there is no original purpose. The original purpose of the text must be maintained. No obscure meaning should be screwed out of it. Yet, it should be presented in an interesting manner for the understanding of the audience. Somehow or other, you can connect with people, they can understand you, they can see what's happening, and they grabs their attention. This is called realization. It's the same, but it's somehow it's suitable to the time, place, and circumstance, preserving the integrity. How to do that? That requires realization. So here, that's how Prabhupada carries on a little bit and talks about this this realized knowledge. So we should appreciate what the information Prabhupada has given us. This is the process. Here, as Prabhupada had put it very simply, to take the medicine, you have to follow the directions on the bottle, and then it'll work. Or bottle, as they say in England nowadays. We say in America, we say bottle, but they say bottle. Same word. Just in case there are any. So that's how you take it, according to the directions that's given on the bottle. And here's the directions how to do this. We're doing it. So when scholars take the same work and they take it out of the context into their own context, it's not the Bhagavatam anymore. It's just like when Ravana took Sita away from Ramchandra. What happened? Did he get Sita? Maya Sita. This is what happens to Bhagavatam. They miss it. So we should have full confidence in Srimad Bhagavatam. Those people who have their other take on it, the mundane scholars and other people, they don't know how. They've got a Maya Bhagavatam. And you know, you can sit there and be, because many people now, we are going to college, you're hearing their take on it, you get really, some people get really confused about it, but it's a different, this is the process, and there is no alternative. And we can say to them, this is our process for realizing the holy name, for having direct experience, Pareshanabhava, direct experience of the Supreme, this is how we do it. This is how, if you want to see God face to face, you can. This is what you have to do. If you don't want to do it, okay, that's your choice. But don't say that we aren't doing it, or we haven't realized it, or we haven't understood it. This is the process. So we should be full confidence. If God has gone into eclipse, we're going to bring him back. But the God that's gone into eclipse was only a little partial. You know, people like a little Brahman realization, a little super soul realization. Here's the cool thing. Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. This is Bhagavatam. This is the as complete as it comes on this planet. There are more pages of Bhagavatam in the heavenly planets. That's true. for here, this is the complete edition, and we can completely realize it. So any questions or comments? We have a little time here. Yeah. I have to make an announcement first. This morning it was announced that today there will be a seminar on chanting in the Mayapur tourism offices. I guess this means the seminar is in that. Not a seminar about chanting in the offices, but a seminar. Well, I mean, you know, you can read it two ways. This information is incorrect. This seminar will be tomorrow, Friday the 17th and Saturday the 18th. So tomorrow and the next day, 4 to 6 p.m. Thank you. Any questions or comments on class? Yes, before. Here, send him an amplifying, sound amplifying.
Thank you for the great class.
You're welcome.
So could you speak a little bit, Prabhu, about on the one hand, we're enjoined, you know, yukta vairagya. We should be able to use everything in Krishna's service. And the more pure we are, the more we can do that. But it's such a challenge to use all these modern products like, you know, iPhones and computers, mm-hmm. and still be able to give rapt attention. I mean, we're coming from that distracted bag.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you describe the process? Prabhupada described the process, but it's such a challenge to do that, short of going off into the forest or, you know. So please elaborate.
Trial and error.
The absolute truth spoken concisely is true eloquence.
That's the only answer I have.
Thank you.
Okay. Somebody, the mic is being passed around on its own, so I've lost control of the process. Go ahead.
You refer to the Sita who's actually not the real Sita in the Bhagavatam. When it's taken out, then it mm-hmm. becomes distorted. So I'd like you to elaborate on, I was just thinking immediately on, it becomes now very popular to chant the Maha Mantra, this Kirtan Fest and, mm-hmm. and all these gatherings. Is that not a similar?
Yes. Yes, it is exactly the same thing. And Prabhupada has quoted that milk tups by the lips of a serpent has a poisonous effect. The poisonous effect would be probably that you would then think you can chant the Hare Krishna mantra, gates and sense gratification, you've done something spiritual, but it doesn't happen. For japa and for sankirtan, kirtan, all these things, this is what's required. Under some Prabhupada had the power. When Prabhupada came to America, he was so radical that at the Mantra Rock Dance on stage, he had Allen Ginsberg lead the chanting. I mean, you talk about. There's a conversation with Ginsberg in Ohio where Ginsberg says Swami is very conservative. Prabhupada's conservative. I mean, he was for that time the most openly gay American celebrity that there was, and everything. His boyfriend was on the stage with him, and he was leading the chanting. I mean, Prabhupada was so he did what he. But somehow, even though he led the chanting, because Prabhupada was there and Prabhupada authorized it, you know, that was a very special circumstance. I would not imitate this, but we should. It should be done like that, and so that other kind of chanting is going around, and people are attracted to it. But we should really try ourselves to come the same standard. Prabhupada didn't care so much that we have musical. I mean, it's good to do these things, but the first thing is what's in this thing about the purity. One's own purity. And you listen to Prabhupada's chanting, you know, he has the voice of, our recording has a voice of a 75-year-old man, you know, it's not like smooth all the time, but it's potent because of his purity. Purity is the force, as summed up ISKCON once. Yeah, over here?
Yeah.
Oh, no, somebody else has the microphone first. Why don't you pass it down to Vasudeva you finish?
Well, thank you, Ribbentrop. You've greatly enhanced our understanding of this verse and the whole principle of Bhagavatam. Of course, Bhagavatam is a dynamic revelation.
It is.
Yes, it's always ever expanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it says also that with each acharya, they've added their realization, making the fruit even sweeter. Mm-hmm. Generation after generation. So is that still possible after Srila Prabhupada? He's brought down the essence of all these perfect realizations into his books. So Prabhupada's books are Purnam, perfect and complete. Everything is there. Will it continue beyond Srila Prabhupada's?
If it doesn't, Prabhupada will have failed.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, Prabhupada is the founder Acharya. He will always be the founder Acharya. He will, in that sense, he's in a permanent supreme position. But I was there in the presence of Prabhupada where he said, actually, there was an academic guy that came to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, sometimes he would right off the bat give people instructions, just like Bhaktisiddhanta gave him instructions right away. He said to this young professor or graduate student, he said, "You see, we have these books." He said, "You study these books, and then you write books about these books." So I took that as, you know, I was in the audience. I took that as for me too, and for all of us, that you write books about these books. He always wanted us to do the same thing. We would not surpass him in any way, but also as we had realized it, we also have an audience to preach to, that we have to relate to and make a connection. So there will be, it should go on. Yeah. Otherwise, he will have failed.
Krishna. My question is, are we fundamentalists? In the Genesis, we read that the world was made in 7 days, and Adam and Eve, etc. And these stories, so the fundamentalists reckons that these stories are important, they should be taken literally. But you also spoke about realized knowledge. Someone mm-hmm. with a little more enlightenment will understand that the symbolic a meaning behind the story, which is really what is important. Mm-hmm. So, Srila Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book with stories about Krishna without going much further than that, going into the esoteric. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us some symbolic meaning behind the demons, for example. Isn't it that a higher consciousness to give value to the meaning and to the symbolic interpretation, and
say the real thing is not there?
Well, I would like to know: are we fundamentalists? What makes us different from fundamentalists?
You would have to tell me what a fundamentalist is. Is a term of abuse, or people who? I mean, it's true. I have to say. I mean. When I started reading Bhagavatam, do you know what it was? I wrote Prabhupada a letter. I was going to be writing a doctoral dissertation. He told me to do it, and he suggested that I defeat Darwin. And I went into a state of shock. because part of my growing up was in Oklahoma and Texas. And I knew these people who didn't believe in Darwin. And, you know, I said, am I supposed to become like them, like a great big stupid neon Jesus saves sign? You know, I mean, that was my idea of fundamentalists. And here Prabhupada was saying, defeat Darwin. And then I thought about it, and I thought, well, you know, if everything comes from Krishna, then Darwin is wrong. You know, then I thought, well, yeah, but it follows that it's wrong. I just never thought, well, how are we going to defeat him? It obviously has to be wrong. Anyway, it's interesting. Then I happened to meet Sataputta. He was out on Sankirtan for New Vrindavan or something. He'd just gotten a PhD in mathematics, and nobody knew what to do with him. They made him the treasurer because presumably he could count. With a PhD in mathematics. But the real talent of a treasurer is to say no and where's your receipts, and he really didn't have that talent. So I didn't know what to do with him. So I showed, he came and I met him for the first time, and I showed him this letter I got from Prabhupada. You know, how can you defeat Darwin? And Sataputta said to me, "Oh yeah, Darwin is wrong," he says. I figured that out before I ever met devotees. He says, actually, most mathematicians know Darwin is wrong. They just don't say anything because it upsets the biologists so much. And then he started giving me arguments later that, you know, he published and everything about this. So that, that helped my faith some. Some like that. So in some ways, we may... to some people resemble fundamentalists. Certainly they've called Prabhupada a fundamentalist. We have to accept the meaning as it's given. It seems like that. But you have to understand this about realized knowledge. And we have our acharyas. Sometimes they tell us what the different meaning is. I mean, even Christians, you know, the current, like at least Protestant fundamentalists, they believe God created the world in 7 earth days. But St. Augustine said, you know, these aren't human days, because that hadn't even been started yet. You know, so I mean, a long time ago, you know, there were people had some kind of understanding of things that different from what is now, you know, biblical literalism. So to me, my understanding is, yes, I accept the literal meaning, but what is the literal meaning of words? The words refer properly in their true meaning to God. Even you can understand, you can say God is love. Well, do we really know what love is? What you have down here is something like love, some reflection of love, some, you know, dim little glimmer of love. You want to know what love really means? That's love. That's the literal meaning. That what God does, that's the literal meaning. And down here we have the symbolic, you know, or the allegorical or the, you know, derived meaning. So this will educate us in knowledge. So you have to take what Prabhupada said together with the process and use the process. Then I don't think there's any problem. But people will call you a fundamentalist. That's true. You know, bear the badge proudly if you have to. What to say? Do we have to leave strictly on time? I'm afraid.
No.
Okay, go ahead. The guy with the microphone says no.
There was a lot of reference to the purport to realization. Mm-hmm. And we all have experience. Sometimes we realize something, and the next week we totally forgot what we thought we realized. And Prabhupada also uses the word assimilation. Mm-hmm. So is there a difference between realization and assimilation, meaning one, you've got it, and one, it's kind of coming and going, and the mode of passion comes, and you totally forget it?
You can take it different ways, I suppose. I think realization goes up and down, not because it's not realization, but simply because it's the beginning of realization. You know, people have ups and downs in their spiritual life, but you know, after nishtha, then you get more and more intense, and finally you're apparently here, but living in the spiritual world. You know, it's a direct experience. By realized knowledge, he means it's experienced knowledge. It's scientific because of that. It's assimilated because here's something that I found very interesting. When we know something in the material world, it's the self knowing the not self. The self is the knower, the self is the seer, and the seen is matter, either gross and subtle matter. When it comes to Krishna, Krishna is also self. He's Atma. He's the self of the self. He's Paramatma. So knowing Krishna is something like knowing yourself. Now, in the material world, can we know about ourselves for sure? That I exist. Right? This is Descartes' point. You know, I think, therefore, I am. I can doubt everything that I can't, but I cannot doubt my own existence as a conscious being. Because who would be doubting? And Prabhupada appreciated that when he was given a survey of Western philosophers. When we come to get some not even very advanced realization, but some realization of Krishna, we suddenly discover that we cannot doubt Krishna's existence. I mean, this happened to me. One day I realized I was absolutely convinced of the existence of Krishna. Totally convinced of the existence of Krishna. And the first thing I thought, what right do I have to be so convinced? No. If there's, there's logical proofs for the existence of gods, but if you don't like a deductive argument, all you have to do is deny one of the premises. I mean, what a valid deductive argument is gives you what you have to do to deny it. Like, here's a deductive argument. All men are mortal. Socrates is a man, therefore Socrates is mortal, right? That's the textbook example. So here I am, I'm Socrates, and I don't like it. I don't like that conclusion that I'm mortal. So I can say, how do you know I'm a man? Or how do you know all men are mortal? Have you seen everyone? Maybe I'm different. You know, that's the problem with deductive arguments. You can always... But when I became really just convinced, I mean, it's really like that. I am absolutely 100% certain that Krishna is there. How do I have a right to it? And it's somehow or other I've made a little advancement of Krishna consciousness. I've had a little experience of at least, the outer edge of the presence of the super soul or something. And, once that happens, I can no more doubt the existence of the Lord than I can doubt my own existence. And that's because he is also Atma. We're part and parcel of him. There's an overlap of that area. So there's some certitude that comes from spiritual advancement. And all of Krishna is in our hearts. That expands. That gradually it opens up. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogantam, from that Lord in the heart, he then presents to unveil himself to us. And at that point, there's no doubt. And once you have this, you can also see in other religious traditions, people have partial realizations. Prabhupada never says that they're wrong. But there's partial, there's a piece of it here, there's a piece of it there. As far as I know, in my experience, the thing that I've seen that has, the most complete account is Srimad Bhagavatam. Still, no one's come up with anything better yet. So, but that's what I'm going on. I think we have to stop now. Time's got. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yeah, sure.